Muy buenas noches. Un saludo muy especial al misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín y a todos los hermanos.
Good evening. Warm greetings to the missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín and all the brothers and sisters gathered there in the congregation that the Reverend Marcos Joya pastors there in Santa Rosa, Venezuela, and those who are connected through the satellite Amazonas and through the satellite Eutelsat 8, and also the internet and also all the different means of communication, and those who will be reading this activity later on. On this occasion, today, Friday, December 22nd of this year, 2023, let us search for one scripture that Dr. William Soto Santiago read in this message that we will be watching and listening to, titled The Birthright of Jesus Christ, preached on Sunday, December 21st, 2014, here in Calle, Puerto Rico. It tells us in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18, it says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she found with child of the Holy Ghost. And he writes there, Jesus and his time. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought of these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Notice the angel who gave that name to the child back then was the archangel Gabriel. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And there he writes, Angel of the Lord. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. The birth of Jesus. You may please be seated. He tells us in the message, we have seen his star, preached on December 16th, 1963. In this booklet, in Spanish is page 5 and so is in English, he tells us, Now, God never does anything without first showing a sign. He's not guilty of ever doing anything but first declaring it by his sign. And these wise men said, We have seen his star in the east. They were in the east when they saw it, which was in Babylon, which was east of Jerusalem. And they were in the west 2 years later, saying, I have come to worship him. Now notice in the message, God's gifts always find their places. There, our brother Branham tells us on page 26. And the writing there, notice. Heavenly Father, can the people today see that is that great gift? And many here tonight, more than a dozen, I guess, raised their hand that they wanted to receive the Holy Spirit. May there, just like the wise man, maybe none of the rest of the congregation will ever see what goes on. And this star, this mystic light, passed over the observatories for 2 years, where people even kept time then by 4 watches. He writes their mystic light. They kept time by the stars. Nobody, no historian wrote of it. No one knew nothing about it. And yet it was there. And these wise men, with their appropriate gifts, was guided right through to it. May that same light come into every heart here tonight, that setting present. And there he writes, star in line. Today, Luther, Wesley, and William Marion Branham. Notice the star that was shown back then in the sky, where the wise man saw that sign. How today is those messengers in line? Because the messengers of the ages are represented in stars. And see, he places there Luther, Wesley, and William Marion Branham. There is the lined up sign for the fulfillment that later on would be his second coming. God showed it that way also. He goes on to say, on page 5, we have seen his star. Christian tradition has us coming to a little baby, laying in a manger, the wise man. That isn't so. The scripture is contrary to that. The scripture says, they came to a young child, not an infant. Herod slew all the children from 2 years old down, see? And watch, where they had to travel by camel to get there, take them right on 2 years to make the journey, coming down through by the Tigris River and across. We have seen his star when they were in the east and have come west to worship him. Now notice, Christmas now has changed. Now the real day of Christmas that would be disputed because we do not know it. The way we take Christmas, if you ever studied it, we are taking the Roman Catholic Church conception of when Christmas was. Actually, Christ could not have been born in the 25th day of December and be according with the scripture, because there is 30 foot of snow in Judea in that time, see? So it could not be shepherds out on the hills and so forth, and it be contrary then to all nature. He came like nature, because God has a law, and those laws can't be changed. The sun goes down, you can't say, well, it won't rise. It does rise. Summer, winter, and so forth is God's laws that he set in order, and they, everyone, work perfect. Now, but he was perhaps born in April or May 1. And there he writes, Jesus was born in April or May, and he drew a Star of David there. This is in the book of English. And in a Bible study, also in an excerpt like this, where they put this same one for him, I placed this excerpt for him, and there in that excerpt he writes, in that Bible study, lambs are born in April or May, and in barns. Now, he continues saying, now, but he was perhaps born in April or May 1, when he was a lamb, and every other thing proved he would be a lamb. That's the reason he was born in a manger, in a barn, and not in a house, because lambs are born outside in the barns, in straws and stuff, and not in the house. When he was taken to the crucifixion, he was led away. You remember, you lead the sheep. We go to the slaughterhouse down here. They got a goat or something that leads the sheep. The sheep won't go itself. He's got to be led in every way he was. So then in nature, he had to be born when lambs are born. And that's in April, see? That's about when he was born. But then, when Christianity was brought into Romanism and mixed at Nicaea, then they had the sun god, Jupiter, the sun god of Rome. His birthday was on between about the 25th day of December, because the Romans circus started on the 21st and lasted till the 25th, which was in celebration of the sun god birthday. So, blending Romanism, paganism to Christianity, they said, let's make it the Son of God's birthday, and then we can all agree upon it. See, it's always been on systems of compromising to the truth. Every time has always been. And he tells us, in the message, God's gifts, on page 3, also tells us something related to the birth. Page 3, it says, and I look down and know that this is facing back now to April. The Lord willing for me to live that long, I'll be 55 years old, see? I know, but looking back on my life, and I wonder where it happened. From them first little Christmases, when we hang up our stocking and Mama would probably get an orange or two or three little pieces of striped candy. And that was a great Christmas to us. But, you know, kids, they look forward for their gifts. We find out that Christmas is mainly children. They look forward to that nowadays. It's turned off to the children. But it really should be adults. It should be teaching their children what real Christmas is. And I totally do not believe that Christ could be born on a 25th day of December in Judea. Because it's colder than it is right here now. So, how could the shepherds be keeping their flocks by night? And then the taxations and everything? And Mary having to come that far from way down in Bethlehem up to Judea, up into Jerusalem rather, for the taxation? I hardly could believe that. Come up. I believe she come to Nazareth, and so how that could be done. It could not be done, but I believe that Christ was born in spring. Because in every way he was a lamb, see? You notice, he was born in a barn and not a house. And when they took him to the cross, the others, as far as we know, that he never said about him leading them, but they led him. Do you know a lamb or a sheep has to be led to the slaughter? It will not go to the slaughter. You have to lead it there. And he writes, sheep. And usually, it's a goat that leads the sheep. And he writes, goat. In the killing pens, they have a goat. And the goat will walk up this runway till he gets up to get the sheep started down the runway to be killed. And then the goat will jump out. But when they come a time they're going to kill the goat, he really kicks up a fuss. He's got to go in. But, of course, you couldn't blame him. But it's a thing how a sheep has to be led, and he was led to the slaughter. They led him. He was a lamb. And I believe in that way being altogether nature. And lambs are born in March, April, and somewhere along in there, not later than May. And I don't believe it was anything before March and anything after May. sometime along in there. There, Brother Branham is more or less identifying when the birth of Jesus was. Now, also look in the same message on paragraph 96, around there, it says, now, God guided the Magi because they had the right gifts. God guided these wise men because they had the right identified gift to identify His Son. And there He writes, wise men today. Oh my, do you get it? Wise men today, rise in the name of the Lord. Not with something fictitious, something, but with the gift that God promised for this day. And God will guide you to identify that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and He writes Elijah, and forever, and He writes Moses. There you are, wise man. God guided those gifts because they were the gifts to identify Him. Wise man today who can look away from the churchianity, all the things of the world, to the living Word of God. And God will identify His Son by His Word, because that's what He is. I and my Father are one. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the same Word today, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And a wise man follows that, because that's what God takes care of to identify Himself by it. Amen. A gift. A real identified gift of God. God brings it up through everything like that to identify Himself by. And He writes, God's gift to humanity. And He draws Star of David. And that's how Christ was identified by gold, myrrh, and frankincense. By them men foreshadowing a showing in type what His life was to be. There is a part in the back in this same message where He defines there, He writes, gold equals deity, frankincense equals service, myrrh equals death. See? Deity manifested for service, to die that He might redeem the nation, because He was to save His people from their sin, not save the world, save His people from their sin. The Bible said here, for in His name will the Gentiles trust. See, the Gentiles will trust in His name. Amen. In other words, the bride, the call out of the Gentiles, will be trusting in the name of Jesus Christ. In His name shall the Gentiles trust. Now, God guided them, for the gifts that they were given were fitting to the time. Notice, as we've said, God has divided His Word at the beginning, in Genesis. I can take Genesis and show you every age in the Bible, down to this age here. All the cults and things we have today. I can show you exactly where they was in Genesis, see? God gave His Word so much here, so much here, so much here for each age. And then He sent a prophet down, anointed to make that Word come to pass. And it supports the other one that was coming. See? There He writes. Let us see. Let us read a little more. Like the Messiah always supported every prophet in his own life, his own being, the word that was given for that day, He come and fulfilled that written word and foretold of what the other one was going to be. And every one of them spoke of Him. Amen. Because He was the fullness. He was the head of the prophets. He was the Word of God. He was the prophets. Amen. There He is. Notice how wonderful what He was. Each one of those prophets. And He writes, Jesus was the fullness of the prophets. And in this other side He writes, the prophets announce the next one who will come. In other words, when we read that yesterday, let us see here in the message, the spoken word is the original seed. There is a small part there in this booklet on page 69 on this little book of this message where he writes, the sign that everything is finished is when a prophet leaves the field of service and departs. Because notice what he tells us here, which they speak of that next one who is to come. In other words, one speaks of the other. But Christ, notice, they were all gathered in one. All those who had spoken of him from the Old Testament were gathered in Jesus. There is also a writing where he puts it like that. And for the end of time, it says, Moses and Elijah, they are spoken of by all the messengers, angel messengers, and all the prophets are in them. They are in that ministry. Now notice, he goes on saying, then when he come, he was the fullness of all the prophets manifested, because they were the word of the Lord. And he said himself, if you call those gods whom the word of God came to, how can you condemn me when I say, I'm the Son of God? See, even those in that age was identified as gods. God called them himself gods. What were they? They were manifestations of his word. And here was he, the fullness of the word, deity embodied, deity manifested in the flesh. Now notice, in this message, the things that will happen, which was preached on February 1st, 1997, in Fusagasugá, Colombia, our brother William tells us, now, God has made promises for his church for this end time. And notice here, the birth of Christ through a virgin. Now, that virgin will be representing a pure virgin, which is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why in the message of the seals on page 434, the forerunner of the second coming of Christ tells us, we're in travail, Christ to bring forth the bride. That is in the book of the seals. Let us see there. On page 434, it tells us, that's the reason we're in travail. Christ to bring forth the bride. Everything is travailing and groaning. See, there is something fixing to happen. And this sixth plague let her go. Brother, the earthquakes burst open, and the stars shake. Volcanics will come forth, and the earth will renew itself. New lava will break forth from the center of the earth, and she'll crumble all around and around and around when she spins out in yonder. Now notice, what leads to that? It says, the sixth seal. And notice at what he spoke to us and wrote to us, our brother William. Our brother Branham spoke it, and our brother William writes there, which was, let us see here, in the message The Invisible Union of the Bride of Christ, where it says on page 34, now notice the anointed word of his day, of which you are a part by predestination. And there he writes, Elijah, because it was in his fourth manifestation, and he writes, Moses and Elijah, and he writes, sixth seal, and Jesus equals the seventh seal. Notice what leads to all that, the fulfillment of the sixth seal and seventh seal, which is the coming of the Lord. What the seventh seal is to the church is the seventh trumpet to Israel, Moses and Elijah, the coming of the Lord. Now, our brother William goes on saying, and in the message of the ages around pages 190-191 of the book in Spanish, and you can begin on 180 around there, it also tells us that there will be a virgin church, a bride, which will be God's instrument for the fulfillment of these promises, and there will be a showdown, just as there was a showdown on Mount Carmel. Let us go on to the book of the ages. On page 100, the book in Spanish is 180. On the other one is 186. Around there where we're going to read, but in English it's page 171. Whatever life was in the seed came forth into a plant and thence into fruit. That, I'm in the book of the ages. The very same law applies to the church today. Whatever seed started the church will come forth and be like the original seed because it is the same seed. In these last days, the true bride church, Christ's seed, will come to the headstone. And there he writes, the word, the seals. And she will be the super church, a super race, as she nears him. They in the bride will be so much like him that they will even be in his very image. This is in order to be united with him. They will be one. There will be the very manifestation of the word of the living God. And he writes, for today, denominations cannot produce this wrong seed. They will produce their creeds and their dogmas mixed with the word. This mongrelizing brings forth a hybrid product. In this other book, we'll come to the headstone. There he draws a cornerstone and an arrow toward the cornerstone. And where it says the very image, he writes, theophany. The first son, Adam, was the spoken seed word of God. He was given a bride to reproduce himself. That is why the bride was given to him to reproduce himself, to produce another son of God. But she fell. She fell by hybridization. She caused him to die. The second son, Jesus, also a spoken seed word of God, was given a bride like as was Adam. But before he could marry her, she also had fallen. She, like Adam's wife, was put to the test whether she would believe the word of God and live or doubt the word and die. She doubted. She left the word. She died. There he writes, your first love. From a little group of the true seed of the word, God will present Christ with a beloved bride. She is a virgin of his word. She is a virgin because she knows no man-made creed or dogmas. By and through the members of the bride will be fulfilled all that was promised of God to be made manifest in the virgin. The word of promise came to the Virgin Mary, but that word of promise was he, himself, to be made manifest. God was made manifest. He himself acted at that time and fulfilled his own word of promise in the Virgin. And there he writes, God made flesh. It was an angel that had brought her the message, but the angel's message was the word of God, Isaiah 9:6. He fulfilled at that time all that was written of him because she accepted his word to her. That is, she accepted the word of the angel. the members of the Virgin Bride will love him, and they will have their potentials, for he is their head, and all power belongs to him. They are subject to him, as the members of our bodies are subject to our heads. Notice the harmony of the Father and the Son. Now notice here. Let us pause for a moment. Because notice, that angel who gave that message to Mary back then, we do know that it was Gabriel, the angel of the Lord. And notice, on page 12, in page 11 in Spanish, it says, and then we notice she too, after she had this visitation, she was so elated by the angel's message that she took up into the hilly country of Judea from Nazareth, where she was a native of the city of Nazareth, a very mean little city. And when she got up there, her cousin Elizabeth was also already 6 months to be mother, who had been called barren. Her husband Zacharias was a priest at the temple. And one day while he was waving the offerings, which was the burning incense, rather, over the prayers of the people that was being said outside, Gabriel, the angel of the Lord, now, he hadn't been seen, nor nothing been seen of anything supernatural for years and years, and hundreds of years. But here stood that angel at the right-hand side of the altar, and told him that his wife would conceive and bear a child, and he was going to call his name John. And we all know the story. And then when Gabriel also, 6 months later, visited Mary in Nazareth and told her about the event of her cousin, Elizabeth. And then, quickly, Mary having this great secret in her heart, that what was going to take place, she hurried up into the hills to see her cousin. And when Elizabeth had hid herself, because she didn't want to appear out before many in the condition she was, and she had hid herself for 6 months. Now notice, this angel who appears to the priest Zachariah is the same one who appears to Mary and then to Joseph in dreams. And there he writes, in the one in English he writes, Gabriel, the angel of the Lord. And he writes Revelation 1:1-3, 19:1-20. And you already know those scriptures. 22:6 and 22:16. 22:16, notice that it says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. If that angel, Gabriel, that is the Holy Spirit, the angel of the Lord, who has appeared at this end time to his church, making known the good tidings, then there is where we see that part that we read yesterday, below where we just quoted again, which says that when the anointed word of his day on page 34 of the message, The Invisible Union of the Bride of Christ, where he says, now notice the anointed word of his day, of which you are a part by predestination, you immediately like knew. When you heard that, you knew right quick that you was an eagle. You also realized that you wasn't a denominational chicken to begin with. There is another version that says you were not a denominational chicken. Notice that as soon as that seventh seal, which is the coming of the Lord, is being fulfilled in the midst of his church, which the Reverend William Branham was the forerunner to and spoke of it, and was made known through the message of the good tidings of that mighty Archangel Gabriel. Well, therefore, you must be searching on earth for the fulfillment of what was prophesied forerun, and what was that message of those good tidings brought to us by that angel of Revelation 22:16. See that scripture also has other fulfillments, because the scriptures have multiple fulfillments. But in this case, notice how he places there Revelation 22:16, which is Archangel Gabriel announcing to the priest Zechariah and to the Virgin Mary those good tidings of that son. For example, in Mary, that son that would be born to her, and giving her the good tidings and telling her everything that son would be. Now, Brother Branham told us that that angel, that archangel, announced. Let us turn to page 33 in the Book of Quotations, paragraph 282, where he tells us, "And standing there was an angel, the mighty Gabriel. He is a messenger to the Jews." Remember, Gabriel announced the first coming of Christ. The angel Gabriel will announce the second coming of Christ. The Bible said so. And he writes, Gabriel equals announces the second coming of Christ. That is why he said there, "I have been sent from the presence of God to give these good tidings, and the sooner I give them, the sooner I can go to the house of my heavenly Father." Notice how everything is parallel. But it's so simple that people cannot identify that fulfillment when God is carrying out what was spoken, prophesied to happen. But only those who recognize that fulfillment are then identified as eagles. The rest will not know that mystery, because they do not have that prophetic insight. Now, notice, if he announces and announced the first coming of the Lord, that is Gabriel, and he says that he will announce the second coming of the Lord, then we have to search and identify who the forerunner is at this time. Back then, we identified the forerunner, which was John the Baptist. Now, we have identified the forerunner, the Reverend William Marion Branham, with the ministering spirit of Elijah in his fourth manifestation in North America. For those who wish to receive him, the Reverend William Marion Branham was the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord. And who was the one that back in his first coming brought the good tidings to Mary? That she would be giving birth to that son? Gabriel. And we identify him as the Archangel Gabriel. And we come here now and we have to look for the parallel of what was his first coming. And we look over here, we already have the forerunner. Now, where is the one that Brother Branham says would announce the second coming? Well, we have to search among the people for someone who would be in the midst of the people after the forerunner announcing those good tidings. And we identify him as our beloved brother and friend, William Soto Santiago, bringing the good tidings to the Mary, to the church bride in this end time, making known to her what would be born to her. And we have already identified him. Then we go back then, and we see who was the one that spoke, the forerunner, who the forerunner spoke of, who that Archangel Gabriel spoke of. And we see him identified there as Jesus, the one forerunner. And there we have all three of them. We come here and we do the same thing. We have already identified the forerunner. We have identified that mighty archangel who came to give us give us the good tidings. But now, where is the one for run? Where is the fulfillment of what they spoke about? Well, you have to look for him in the midst of his church, at the top part, at the summit, at the edge of the cornerstone. And the one who was forerun, the one who was spoken of in the good tidings, spoken to us by that mighty angel, who is fulfilling the promises of the coming of the Messiah in the midst of his people, well, that he is the Messiah, the Christ, he is an anointed person, the anointed of God with the Spirit of God. Well, there we automatically identify the one presented or forerun, who comes at this end time to give the rapture in faith. You see how simple everything is? Everything is simple. And all of that in the stage of the age of the cornerstone in a new dispensation, the dispensation of the kingdom. And with the message of the gospel of the kingdom, bringing the rapture in faith, as it was forerun, presented, announced by the angel, and as it is being fulfilled in the midst of his church at this end time, in a great tent cathedral. And there, we will be identifying that character. Back then he came with the name of redemption, Jesus. And in his second coming, he comes with a name that no one understands but he himself, claiming name. Now, let us continue further on here where we paused on page 172. It says, notice the harmony of the Father and the Son in that part where he says, it was an angel that had brought her the message. There he writes, Gabriel. Notice the harmony of the Father and the Son. Jesus never did anything until it was showed him by the Father. John 5:19. This harmony is now to exist between the groom and his bride. He shows her his word of life. She receives it. She never doubts it. Therefore, nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Here is the secret of this. The word is in the bride, as it was in Mary. The bride has the mind of Christ, for she knows what he wants done with the word. She performs the command of the word in his name, for she has thus saith the Lord. Then the word is quickened by the Spirit, and it comes to pass. Like a seed that is planted and watered, it comes to full harvest, serving its purpose. Those in the bride. Let us see here where he writes. He draws a cornerstone and he writes, mind. Those in the bride do only his will. No one can make them do otherwise. They have, thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. They know that it has to be God in them doing the works, fulfilling his own word. And he writes of today, he did not complete all his work while in his earthly ministry, so now he works in and through the bride. And he writes there, the Holy Spirit works in and through the bride. She knows that, for it was not yet time for him to do certain things that he must now do, but he will now fulfill through the bride that work. And he writes, lion, which he left for this specific time. What is God going to fulfill through the bride? The fulfillment of that promised son to carry out that claiming work. Back then it was to carry out the work of redemption on the cross. Now is the claiming work. Back then as the lamb, now as the lion. That works which he left for this specific time. Now, notice, Brother William tells us there, he says that also, he says that there will be a showdown on Mount Carmel. of which in that message, the spoken word is the original seed. There also tells us about a part regarding this showdown. It says on page 110, it says, then in the latter rain, there will come forth a Mount Carmel, a showdown. Bible fulfilled to the letter. John the Baptist, his messenger before his face, in Malachi 3, planted a former rain and was rejected by the churches, the denominations, the Pharisees and Sadducees in his day. Jesus came and had the Mount Transfiguration showdown. This forerunner of the last days will sow the former rain. Jesus will be, and he writes, with Moses and Elijah, Jesus will be the showdown between the denominations and creeds, which is his word. And he writes, the showdown. When he comes, a showdown, the rapture of his bride. The first was Mount Carmel. The second was Mount Transfiguration. The third will be Mount Zion. Glory. He writes Revelation 14:1-9. And he writes Mount Carmel, Mount Transfiguration, Mount Zion. Now, our brother William goes on to say, in this message we are reading from things that will happen, he says, and just as there were other showdowns on other mountains, at the last day there will be a showdown, and that showdown will be on Mount Zion, and it will be the showdown between Christ and the denominations. In other words, the showdown will be the second coming of Christ. Notice how all that is being fulfilled in this end time, and it is on a scale that gets more, is ascending, but first it begins at the house. And in all of this, which is promised, notice, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the end time will have the promised son. When does our brother William tell us that the church will have that promised son? At the end time. The son of Abraham in her midst. In other words, the fulfillment of the promise made to that virgin, which is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Virgin Mary typifies the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice, she is of the seed of King David. Mary is of the offspring of King David. And Jesus, the fulfillment of the first coming of the Messiah, was born through her. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a descendant of King David through Jesus Christ. And that is the house of David, the house of princes, which God has built for him. Also in the message of an introduction, of one of the introductions that he made for one of the subjects that was being seen at that time. This was on March 25th, 2018. Our brother William, where he used to give us the introductions there from his house, of the subject, Israel, behold, the King cometh unto thee. This is in the volume For Sake of the Elect. Notice on that Sunday, March 25, 2018, our brother William tells us in this excerpt, for that message we were going to place, he says, it is at this end time that the Messiah, the Anointed One called Christ, will come as King, and Israel will receive him as King, because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Therefore, there is a great blessing for the Jews at the end time in which we have been given to live. God will send to Israel the two anointed ones, the two olive trees which are the ministries of Moses and Elijah. Now notice in the message, God's gifts also tells us in one part here, on page 7, he tells us at the bottom, he says, and what did Christ do? The life that he had to live eternally, he poured it upon the ground from his veins, his natural life, upon the ground as a sin offering for us. And how the Gentiles today, men of honor, men, great men, taking the sword and standing there and cutting their way through to get a fresh drink of water for Christ, our David, which is very unpopular today. But our David, which we know he's coming in power, he's going to trap every nation under his feet like that and rule them with a rod of iron. And real gallant men standing with the word of God and chopping from side to side fearlessly, because we know he's coming in power. And there he writes, a gallant man. And he writes, Daniel 2, 35 to 45, 7, 17 to 25, from Daniel. And he also writes Revelation 14, 17 to 20, 19, 11 to 21, 11, 15 to 19, and several scriptures there. Now notice what our brother William goes on to say here in the words he gave in that introduction. Elijah forerunning the way among the Jews and calling and gathering together the chosen ones of Israel, which are 144,000 predestinated, chosen ones by God, written in heaven, in the Lamb's Book of Life. Therefore, this is a very important time for the Jewish people. They will also see the ministry of Moses once again manifested in the midst of Israel, because the Messiah that Israel is waiting for and who God has promised will be a prophet like Moses. What is Israel waiting for? The Messiah, the Anointed One. How are they expecting him? Well, he will be a prophet like Moses, that is a dispensational prophet. For the Lord will do nothing without first revealing his secrets to his servants, his prophets. The people must be watching and looking for that fulfillment today. Therefore, Israel awakened to the reality of the divine program in favor of Israel for this end time. Israel will awake and will see the king who comes to Israel, the desired king, a Jew from the tribe of Judah, a descendant of King David. From where and from which tribe will he come? From the tribe of Judah. No wonder he said, tell him, tell them that you are from the tribe of Judah. Therefore, Israel, you will see the Messiah Prince, who will rule, who will reign over Israel and over all nations. In the message, our brother Branham speaks to us in the message, The Godhead Explained, page 17, he says, Now, if you'll just notice, there is no place. If we got three gods, we're heathen. Now, we know that. Like the Jews said to me one time, when I was talking to him, said, which one of them is your God? Which one is your God, the Father, the Son, or the Holy Ghost? Which one is yours? And I said, why? There is no three gods. He said, you can't chop God in three pieces and give him to a Jew. I said, no, sir. I said, when John Wren had been healed of blindness there at Fort Wayne, you know, and this rabbi up here at Mishawa or to Benton Harbor, he said, you can't chop God in no three pieces and give him to a Jew. I said, certainly not. I don't. I said, Rabbi, would it be hard for you to believe the prophets? He said, no. I said, in Isaiah 9:6, who was he talking about? To us a child is born, a son is given. Be called Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. He said, that was the Messiah. I said, then, Rabbi, what relation will Messiah be to God? He said, he will be God. That's what I thought. See? Now, you see? That's exactly right. That's what he is. And so I said, tell me now where Jesus failed to fulfill exactly what the prophet said he would do. And he started to cry and walk around. And Brother Wiener writes there in on the front. Referring to that page, he writes, "The Messiah is God in flesh." Now, look at what our brother William continues saying there. "Israel, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. Be spiritually awake, because behold, thy king cometh unto thee. And he comes to you according to the divine promises made for the coming of the Anointed One, the Messiah, a prophet like Moses. Israel, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. It will be a time of great blessing for you, Israel, because behold, thy king cometh unto thee." The much desired promise of the coming of the Messiah will come a reality for you, because behold, thy king cometh unto thee. That was those words of our brother William, there on March 25th of 2018, which, on that occasion, he spoke to them, notice, there to Israel. And he's speaking to the spiritual Israel and to the earthly Israel as well, because he is announcing to them to be alert that their king, that is, the one they are waiting for, because he comes in his second coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he would be fulfilling that promise as a prophet like Moses, a dispensational messenger, which is what the spiritual Israel is receiving today. That is why when they see him, they will say, "But what are you doing over there? But he's the one we're waiting for, see? But he's not coming for them, he's coming for his church, for his bride, which is ready to be raptured. But she still needs that rapturing faith, which is being given to her." And the chosen ones, those eagles, when they see the fulfillment and they have seen the fulfillment of those good tidings, one, the fulfillment of what the Reverend William Branham foreshadowed, two, the fulfillment of those good tidings of the Archangel Gabriel, when they see what they spoke happening, they will say, "This is what we were waiting for, what was spoken to us for years, and now look how God is fulfilling it in such a simple way. I take hold of it. I receive it. I receive your coming, Lord, in this end time, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in your claiming work. I have welcomed him." And we can say, this Christmas, we continue to welcome you, Lord, God creator of the heavens and the earth, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. We continue to welcome you as you have promised, as you have spoken through the forerunner, as you have spoken through that mighty Archangel Gabriel, bringing us those good tidings. We have received your coming, and we have welcomed him in our souls, in our hearts. Welcome, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Welcome into my life. I have received you, and I desire that you, with your coming, transform me soon. May you soon take me to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Fulfill in me, O King of Kings, fulfill your coming in me. Fulfill in me the promises in this new dispensation, the dispensation of the kingdom. The birth of Jesus Christ. Let us stand and thus leave on this occasion. In this subject, the birth of Jesus Christ, our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.